Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom.
How are you doing?
I'm okay on this beautiful day. It's absolutely gorgeous sat here and lovely and warm and it just feels good, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the lovely weather outside, and I think it'd be pretty horrible if we were stuck indoors and it was cold and wet and disgusting and dark outside. So I'm very, you know, whilst it's still a bit rubbish, I'm very grateful for the fact that we're able to get out and enjoy the sunshine, enjoy gardens. I actually did some gardening on Saturday.
Well done.
Which I don't think I've ever done in my whole life. So I think my mum will be very proud of me. Not least Becca. Becca is probably none the wiser to it, really. But mum, if you're listening, then be proud of me. I did some gardening.
And your garden looked lovely on Sunday, I thought, when you did the Sunday service and you introduced it from the garden.
Good Friday.
Was that Good Friday?
Yeah, I know.
Well, it looked beautiful anyway. It was, because you were in bed on Sunday, weren't you? That's right. I've forgotten you weren't in the garden on Sunday. You were in bed.
I'd rather not talk about that.
Yes.
It was okay in the end. It was fine. It definitely wasn't pre-recorded as well. So
no, it was a year ago, I think, wasn't it, from the date that I saw on the CCTV camera that you were showing? So
yes.
You've been in bed a year. There we go.
Yeah.
What a joy.
Wonderful. Well, it's good to be with you, and it's good to be able to meet again for this, what would it be now, our fourth week.
Wow.
Our fourth week of podcasting.
I can't say it's flying by, but it's quite amazing that we've got that far.
Well, this is our fourth week of our NBC Connect podcast. As I'm sure you probably know by now, we put these out every Wednesday. They generally go up sometime around lunchtime, but if I'm more organised than that, they'll be there beforehand. And they're an opportunity for us to connect with you as a church family, to encourage you to connect with one another, and for us to spend a bit of time connecting with our God in heaven above. We also have been releasing things on Sundays, as I'm sure you may have seen as well. Our Sunday services have been a great opportunity for us to spend some time together as a church family in worship, in prayer, and through hearing some sermons that have been mostly given by Tim, but I'm aware that in a few weeks' time, we thankfully don't have to see Tim speak to us on that day. I'm joking.
I'm running out of shirts anyway, so I'll need a little rest to get a new one.
So maybe we need to set up a GoFundMe or something for Tim to get some new shirts.
Well, what a thought.
But it's great. Tim, why don't you tell us a bit about our daily podcasts we've been doing as well?
So on Sunday, we started a series called 40 Days with Jesus, looking at the encounters of the risen Jesus with various people. And we're going to be spending 6 Sundays thinking about that with the different passages. And then every day after that Sunday, between the Sundays, we're going to be issuing just a very short podcast, 5-6 minutes, with a thought based on that particular passage from the Sunday. So it just gives us a bit of chance just to go through the verses a little bit more slowly, to get a bit more detail into the passages itself, and perhaps to unearth something new, but also to develop our relationship with the risen Jesus. The idea of this series is not that we just look at the historical accounts of the risen Jesus, but we're looking at, you know, what does that mean for me, particularly during this time, that I can meet Jesus and that he wants to meet me, which is the most exciting encounter that we could possibly have. And I think what we're designed for, what we're created for, to have that relationship with the dynamic, powerful, life-changing, transforming source who is Jesus. So I hope that this time will just give us a bit of space just to dig in a bit more and for everyone just to spend a bit more time reflecting on passages that we probably know very well because most people have been through lots of Easters in church, but just to become a bit more aware of them, particularly in our current circumstances. I think this is just a time when we need to be encouraged and just affirm the truth together that Jesus is alive. So please do listen in and take a bit of time just thinking about the questions that are asked and pondering on the passage itself would be fantastic.
That's great. Well, most of these NBC Connect podcasts, we've shared something with you that we thought you might like to engage with as an individual or as a family. Last week, I'm aware that we did a bit of a shorter podcast and we didn't actually share anything with you. So today, to make up for it, we thought that we would talk to you about 2 things that have been going on in our community and in our world that we thought you should hear about today. The first of them is from Spring Harvest. I'm sure many of you will have heard of Spring Harvest. They're a organisation that have put on kind of festivals each Easter. Now, of course, this year they weren't able to meet as spring harvest as a collective in the various places across the country, whether that's Skegness or Minehead or Harrogate, I think they're in now as well. But to make up for that, they've been meeting online. So they've been having a sort of online festival. And that's going on right now. So you do have our permission to switch off from this podcast, go and join Spring Harvest at home for their day. And then when their day is finished, which I think is about 9:30 each evening, you can turn them off and then you can switch our podcast back on and listen to the end of this talk. It's going to be a great opportunity for families to come together in your own living room to celebrate the church today. That's their theme this year. And it seems like a strange topic, really, in hindsight, doesn't it? That they set months ago, Unleashed the Church Today, it's called. And I think it's, well, I watched some of it yesterday, and it's been really wonderful to sort of see lots of different people come together, lots of very famous speakers and people who I haven't heard of before who also had amazing things to share. But it was something that we thought it'd be really good to highlight to you, for you to get involved with. All of the information is on the Spring Harvest website, so that's www.springharvest.org. And you can find out everything you need to know about Spring Harvest at Home through that link. The other thing I wanted to share with you is a new book that has been published. It came out a few days ago as well, by the theologian John Piper. He's written a book called Coronavirus and Christ. It's a very short read. It takes about, well, it took me about an hour. It's totally free to read on his website. And you can download the audiobook for free as well. And it's a really great book that invites people to realize how we can stand on the solid rock, who that is Jesus Christ, during these difficult and strange times. It's split into two parts. The first part is thinking about how God is in control of this, even though it might not seem like he is. And then the second part is saying, okay, so if God is in control, then what does that mean for us living in this situation? How can we respond to that, knowing that God is in control of it? So that's called Coronavirus and Christ, and you can find it at John Piper's website, which is www.desiringgod.org. We'll send out all of these links by email to you as well. But until then, Tim, I think we'd better focus on day four of our 40 days with Jesus. Do you want to introduce it?
So yeah, so day four, it's looking at Jesus being present even during despair. And if you've been following our podcast so far, you'll know that Mary was the first person to go to the tomb. And she went while it was still dark. And as the story unfolds, we begin to see that she cries a lot during this time as well. John makes a point of saying that there are a lot of tears in this passage. And of course, there are a lot of tears because Jesus is gone. I'm not sure she expected to see Jesus physically alive, but she definitely expected the stone still to be rolled across the entrance to the tomb and Jesus' body still to be there. So it's not a surprise, really, that all the expectations she went to the tomb with, they haven't been met. And now there's a despair because she's confused about what's happened to the body. So we're just going to listen to John chapter 20 and verse 10 to 14, which comes in the middle of this passage. And this will just help you to catch up with the story and where it is so far.
So verse 10, then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realise that it was Jesus.
Thanks, Tom. That just reminds us of some of the passage that we've been looking at this particular week, and of course comes right in the middle of the story itself. I think it is quite intriguing in the detail that, this passage has as well. And I'm intrigued about John's own part in this as well. Although he's never mentioned in the passage, he's clearly the one who beat Simon Peter to the tomb. He is the other disciple. And I love that little detail of his prowess at running, that he is clearly faster than Simon Peter at this particular time as well.
Did you see how he describes himself in verse 2 as well? Simon Peter and the other disciple, yes. The one Jesus loved.
Yes, you know, well...
John, he's clearly a humble person, isn't he?
That's the power of writing a story, isn't it? You know, you can put yourself in there and affirm yourself quite happily in it. But it's intriguing, of course, that John, he bent over and looked in at the strips of linen and didn't go in. But Simon Peter got there second, went straight into the tomb, the impetuous Simon Peter, of course, who was always doing things in advance of his brain, I think. But so he went in and he saw the strips of cloth lying there as well. And in verse 8, John goes into the tomb, the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, just to make sure that you didn't miss that little point. And he went inside, he saw and believed. It's interesting that that was enough for him. And I don't know what was it he believed in that moment, you know? Jesus had spoken about the fact that he was going to rise from the dead. John, brought up in a Jewish culture, had an idea that there would be a resurrection from the dead, but in the future, at the end times. And so is that what he was thinking? That somehow, you know, with his understanding of scripture that had gone on before and everything Jesus taught, had he got it? Did he believe? Did he just believe what he had always believed? Or was this a new beginning for him? So it's a little bit difficult to unravel all of that. But verse 10 says they both went back to where they were staying. So was it because it was enough? I don't know. It's difficult to know, isn't it? But the next verse tells us, of course, that Mary was still there. And that, I guess, is what I want us to think about a little bit today. Why did Mary stay there?
Well, Mary went to the tomb first. She began our story. She began in verse 1 of John 20, early on the first day of the week, whilst it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that it had been moved from the entrance. And I think this verse and this passage speaks to me a lot about our current position, where we're currently at. I think in this moment, Mary herself was feeling incredibly socially isolated from things. She went to the tomb by herself early in the morning in darkness. She will have experienced pain that we can only imagine, the feeling of losing a loved one. It's likely Jesus was her best friend. She was her Lord and Saviour. She'd just seen him a few days before, because we know that she was at Jesus's crucifixion. Many of the disciples won't have been there. They'll have left. They'll have run away. They won't want to be a part of it. But we read that Mary Magdalene was there. She'd seen her best friend nailed to a cross, beaten, stripped, whipped, and ultimately die on the cross. And then she'd seen his body be taken down. She has seen all of these events happen. She will likely have been involved in the process of chucking perfume and spices into the tomb. And then she saw the tomb be sealed. And she, like everybody else, apart from the couple of Roman soldiers put to guard the tomb, will have left. No one would have been allowed to stay. They couldn't have risked it. The authorities weren't going to have allowed anybody to get close to that tomb. You had Easter Saturday, the Sabbath day. No one was working. There'll have been an eerie silence, I imagine, across the land. I imagine Mary must have felt incredibly helpless, confused, in shock. It probably seemed too awful to be true for her.
And so there she is with all of that going on. You know, this is a real-time event for her. And there is this longing to find Jesus. Now, to find the body was the key thing. I've come for the body. I don't know where they put him. So she's looking for the body because of her affection and her engagement with Jesus at the time when she first got to know him. And then she just, there's some clues there, aren't there? Suddenly things begin to change a little bit for her. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white seated. Now, so there's a sense that something is changing now, isn't there? That there's something going on, because the tomb isn't empty. I know the linen wrappings are there, but now she sees two angels there. Now, is this God just giving her a sign that something has happened, something that he's been involved in? And I think sometimes in those moments when we're finding it difficult to know what's going on now or in our lives when things have gone on, perhaps what we need to do is to see what are the signs God's giving us. Sometimes we get so focused on what is happening to us that we forget to widen our gaze a bit to see that actually God is trying to show us something as well. It may not be angels, although I'm guessing there have been times for most of us when it seems as if there's been an angel in the form of someone who's come along at the right time, when we've been in despair, when things have gone wrong and somebody's been there, somebody's phoned us, somebody's texted us, somebody's sent us something, and suddenly it's as if God is giving us a sign again that actually all is not lost, that there is some hope for us all. Angels are mentioned in all the Gospels at this particular time, but maybe you've had times when you've seen God through people, through the different things that are happening. But then what happens is that she sees Jesus, that Jesus himself appears to her. And it's as if in her grief and her despair, Jesus comes right into the midst of it himself. Now, she doesn't know who it is. That's where our reading ended. She doesn't realize that it was Jesus. But of course, we know that it was Jesus and that he comes right into the midst of this despair. Now, obviously this happened for Mary, but what about for each of us as well? You know, I think the story of Easter tells us that Jesus understands the tough things that go on in our lives. He's speaking into our situations because he's been in that situation himself. He understands what suffering is. And secondly, I think that the promises that he's given throughout Scripture and that are embedded throughout the whole of the Old Testament and New Testament is that God wants to be with us. And he wants to bring comfort, and he wants to bring help, and he wants to bring strength, and he wants to bring assurance to us that he is with us. Now, I find that incredibly comforting and incredibly strengthening and emboldening to know that whatever is in this moment, that it doesn't need to stay that way. We don't need to stay on our own because Jesus understands and he is with us. And although the disciples had run back home so that Mary was again isolated on her own in that garden, she becomes aware that someone else is with her at that particular time. I find that incredibly heartwarming, really, to know that even if I'm not sure what's going on, I can be sure that God is going to be there with me as well.
It feels a bit funny to be leaving the passage there because obviously the next few verses are so exciting to read. I love what you say, Tim, and I completely agree with it all. I think this story shows us that there'll be occasions when God reveals himself to us that we simply almost can't understand at times. And there's going to be all sorts of people reading into the situation that's going on around us right now saying, oh, it's God trying to tell us this, it's God trying to tell us that. I think that this is something that people really should be praying into. I think we should all be asking God the questions ourselves. God, what is it that you're wanting to show me through this time of isolation? For Mary, she thought that they'd taken Jesus away. She said that she didn't know where they have put him in the next few verses. And I think this is the core of it, isn't it? That Mary went to that tomb. She wasn't looking for a Jesus who was alive. There was no thought process that was going on in her head that said that this could possibly happen. She'd have heard stories of it, but when you see something, generally that's what happens. you don't expect that things can change dramatically. And I find it, as you said, such a heartwarming moment when I can't jump ahead because it's not very fair on, on you tomorrow for your podcast. But, you know, there's that beautiful moment when Mary does realise. Yeah. And it's just the most wonderful passage for us to be thinking about at this time.
And it is this sense of aloneness, I think, that as I've pondered this passage over these last few days, really, that, you know, all credit to Mary because she stayed there. She didn't go away. Now, was that because she doubted? Well, maybe. Was it because she was afraid of the next step? Yep. Well, maybe. Was it because of her love for Jesus? She didn't want to go away from the place, the last place she saw him, even though it was his dead body. Yes, of course it is. But I think there was more than that. It was a longing in her. But also to know that in this isolation, in this aloneness, in this uncertainty, that Jesus was still with her, that God was still doing something. And, you know, whatever the despair is, whatever the questions are, whatever the doubts are, I hope and pray that we can all have this renewed confidence in the fact that Jesus is alive and that he does care about everything that's going on. Now, we're aware that for some of you listening to this, you know, that there'll be ripples of difficulty that you either you're going through or you know people are going through. And so I pray, my prayer is that you'll be assured and reassured today of God's presence with you. That there's an amazing verse in Psalm 56 and verse 8, actually, which I just want to finish this thought really with. And in the New Living Translation, this is what it says. It says this: "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." And I love that thought of the intimacy of God, whatever is happening, that he is with you and with me today. He's kept track of every toss and turn through the sleepless nights. He's kept a record of our tears, and we know from this passage Mary wept quite a lot during this process. But he knows that, and he cares about it. The Message translation of Psalm 56, verse 8 says, "Each ache is written in your book." So whatever is causing you to ache today, God knows, God understands, and you can be assured that he is with you. So take courage and be boldened, and we'll be looking a bit more at this passage over the next 3 days. And then on Sunday, we're going to be starting a new encounter with Jesus and looking at the road to Emmaus and the two disciples who were walking away on that day from Jerusalem when Jesus came to meet them.
I think it'd be really good if we can spend a bit of time in prayer now just about this passage, actually, just surrounding what we've talked about this morning. So let's pray together. Father, it's been a strange Easter, but I thank you for this amazing message that even in our loneliness, you still come to us, you're still there to comfort us, and you always have been and always will be there for us. Father, we thank you that you come to us in our tears. We thank you that you come to us through our fears. We thank you that you come to us when we're feeling anxious. And we thank you for your promise that you stand amongst us. We thank you for your quiet whisper of peace be with you. And we thank you for the truths that we read about. Reassure us that everything is going to be all right. Renew us in the confidence that we should have as a result of the Easter message, that Christ has risen from the dead, that death has been swallowed up in victory, that the tomb is empty, and that you are with us always and forever. Overcome our isolation and fear, and remind us that we are never, ever alone. We ask these things in your name, Father. Amen.
Lord, I want to reaffirm my commitment to you. I choose to put my trust in you today, despite what I'm facing or how I'm feeling. You know every broken place in my life. You're intimately aware of my hurts, and you keep a track of all my sorrows. Jesus, because you became like me, fully human in every way, I know that you identify with me. So open my eyes to recognize you in the midst of my brokenness. I believe that if I seek you with all my heart, I will find you. I thank you that you seek after me too. With your tender love, come and lead me from despair into hope, from anxiety into peace, and from brokenness into wholeness. In your name, amen.
Amen. Well, I'm going to have to listen tomorrow now, aren't I, to see where the rest of the story goes.
What happens next?
What happens next? That's a really great thought.
We're praying for you and we're cheering you on. If there's anything we can do to help, please do get in touch. Call the church number. If I'm not here, then leave a message and we'll get back to you. But please don't be alone. Don't stand alone. No one needs to stand alone. And there are people here to help. So please do ask for help if you need it. It's been great to connect with you, and please keep connected with us as we move through this next period of time.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you once again for listening. Thank you for joining with us, for connecting in with us. We're delighted to be able to see so many people connecting with what we're sharing. It was wonderful to see so many people on our live chat on Sunday after the service. We just about prayed the Lord's Prayer together. And it was great just to see so many faces, so many families all coming together on Easter Sunday. Are you doing the goodbye thing?
I was trying to think of a new one, Tom, but maybe goodbye. We could have suggestions for a sort of farewell moment. But
a farewell moment.
But we could sing Bring Me Sunshine, like Morecambe Wise do. Or perhaps we could just say it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.